things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hi.
Hi.
I wasn't ready for you to. I didn't know that we were.
Going. Oh, my, like, aggressively hitting the button didn't tell you that.
I can't even tell you how zoned out I was.
Got it.
In my own universe over here on the other side of our small table.
Oh, I love our small table.
I do too.
I gotta scooch forward.
Come on over here, Mr. Sister.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Oh, my.
One leg propped up, microphone in my face. Beer.
Another beer.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday?
Tuesday. It is not Tuesday today, and it's not Tuesday when this comes out.
Okay. There's no Tuesdays in the
picture. There's no Tuesdays.
Happy whatever day it is.
Should be a Friday.
Well, time is a construct.
Hey, maybe it's Tuesday if you're listening to this on a Tuesday.
Oh my God.
If you don't listen on the day it comes out, it could very well be Tuesday.
Okay. It's a premonition. Somebody is listening to this on a Tuesday.
If this is you, hello.
Welcome.
Welcome to Tuesday.
You're our audience.
Oh my goodness. How are you?
So great.
So good, huh?
So awesome and good. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
As well.
We're good liars.
It's been a weird week.
It's been a weird, yeah. This episode, I hate to say it, this episode has made my week very bizarre.
It got dark.
Oh my, so quickly it got dark.
That's how I felt about my episode last week, about Four Horsemen.
Yeah, well, mine is very intimately related to your story of the Four Horsemen from last week. If you haven't listened to that episode, pause.
Rewind.
Go back. Listen to that.
Yeah, for sure. And our stories today are actually very closely related as well.
We did the thing where we're two people with the same noggin.
Yep. So I imagine that there will probably be some facts strewn around that could go in either my story or Jenny's story, because they are related to the same family.
The first family.
If you will.
I won't. The last family.
Oh God, I hope not.
I need
a new family.
The good old dang old Trump clan.
My Donald. Favorite nickname for him is the Trumpkin.
The great Trumpkin, Charlie Brown.
The Trumpkin.
I hate it so much, but also love it. Today is a conspiracy episode.
And if nothing describes the Trump family, it is a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy!
Goes all the way to the top!
Everything is a conspiracy. There is no shortage of conspiracies regarding this family, and we're gonna hit you with some biggins.
Right, so I hope you are sitting down. I hope you're driving somewhere. Mm-hmm. Just remember to pay attention to the road. Don't just look through the windshield. I need you to actually be paying attention to the road and where you're going, because I don't want these stories to distract you to the point of endangering yourself or other people.
I don't think I've ever driven any other way than just like staring blankly through the windshield. I think I look at the windshield and not at the road, now that I'm thinking about it.
Okay. See your bugs on there and think, well, I should probably go through a car wash.
Yeah, I'm mostly like seeing the bugs and like replaying a made up argument in my head with somebody that doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah. Or I hurt my own feelings.
Hurting my own feelings. Yeah, that's how I drive.
We're emotionally stable. Welcome to the podcast.
Make that our intro.
On the next round.
Yeah. So Taylor goes first.
Yeah, I'm going to start.
We didn't introduce ourselves.
Oh, hey.
That's Taylor.
That's Jenny. Hi. Over there on the other side of the table.
Whatever. We're pointing at each other. You can't see it.
No.
Off to a good start.
Follow us on Instagram. There's plenty of pictures of us there. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little tale.
I have a feeling this is not a little or a tale.
It It's a wild ride.
Okay. I can't
so,
wait.
So, first of all, let's start with some actual facts. My favorite thing, always.
How do you sneak these into the conspiracy episodes every single time?
Because we just gotta start somewhere.
Okay. All right, go on.
All right. Okay, so this is actually very factually based. There are some ideas in here that are like, interesting. But most of this is factual.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, okay, now listen. I just know that you're doing a Trumpkin.
Yeah.
I do not know which Trumpkin or which conspiracy.
So I found this on Facebook originally.
Okay.
And some Yahoo was going around the Congress library and found a book. And that's where all of this started. And we'll get into the book here in a minute.
Okay.
Are we about to Jenny's freaking out.
Okay.
Okay.
Go.
Wait, tell me the story.
Okay, go.
Okay.
My heart can't stand it.
Okay. We're going to be talking about the littlest Trumpkin. Ooh. Mr. Baron Trump.
Oh.
All right. So this child is 14 years old. He was born March 20th of 2006.
2000 and?
There's six? More?
It's a compound sentence, my dude.
I have always said and in a 2000 year.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
No. I'm just shocked that like 2006 is a birth year that somebody was born in.
Right. I saw that TikTok and I was like, wait a second. That's how I say it.
No, that's correct. That is
how I know some people say 2006.
No. 2000. That seems incomplete. I think the and is like grammatically required. But the idea that real people were born when I was a sophomore in high school makes me itchy.
I agree. All right, so Baron Trump is born in 2006 in Manhattan. His parents are Donald Trump, unfortunate, and Melania Trump. I have a lot of really snide, actually written in here comments.
We cannot keep them to ourselves. I apologize.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So he's the youngest of five siblings, Donald Trump Jr., Ivanka Trump, Tiffany Trump, and Eric Trump. I will say, the only one I don't know anything about is Tiffany Trump.
I have not heard of Tiffany Trump.
You okay, girl? Send us a message.
Wear yellow in your next video if you need help.
Blink twice. All right, so hashtag SaveBaron2020 was trending on Twitter for a while as the internet clung to rumors that Baron was just an innocent kid trapped in the White House castle by his father.
Honestly, I can see it. It's like a very Rapunzel story.
Yeah. And he was, ten when his father was elected?
Oh, that poor guy.
The poor kid had no idea. You don't even know who your parents are when you're 10.
No.
Like,
I'm 30 and I'm still learning new shit about my parents every day.
Same. Okay, so there are super V Adorbs videos of Baron playing with his niece and nephew and just being generally childlike, and they're truly wholesome.
They were sweet cute. Baby.
Yeah, like he's like playing peekaboo with them. Aww. Like at like some kind of a fancy dinner, like they're all wearing like black presidential tie stuff. And he was being such a sweet baby. So there are rumors that he participates in an online video game, and schoolmates have confirmed that the username Jumpy Turtley belongs to him.
Jumpy Turtley?
Yeah.
Cute.
I know.
That sounds like something a 9-year-old, 10-year-old would come up with.
I know. Okay. So the owner of this screen name, who his schoolmates have confirmed are his, supports the LGBTQ community, and even, dare I say, is a Bernie Sanders fan.
Break familial curses.
Get it.
Be your own person. Make your own decisions.
Baron 2040. President.
Let's not get carried away.
Well, we'll see if there's even a Baron family or a Trump family after your story.
Yeah, right.
All right. So it could be that these rumors are just the result of humanity trying to shed a little light of kindness within the Trump entourage. Just like, hopefully they can't all be bad. Maybe we can save the humanity of this tiny child.
Right.
So that could definitely be the source of these rumors. But I think I'm falling in the camp of I just hope that he's a generally kind human.
I hope so, too. It's like indoctrinating your children with, like, white supremacy and toxic ideals child abuse? Is that abusive? Can that be considered like a toxic household?
Interesting thought.
Yeah.
Should be. Probably not until white supremacy actually becomes illegal, though.
Well, white supremacy is currently the president, so we have a long way to go.
Yeah. Let's revisit it in 2040.
Okay,
so that is the end of my beginning facts. So everything else I'm going to say is still factual, but this is where the conspiracy starts.
Okay.
Okay, so there are a series of books that were written in the 1890s by Ingersoll Lockwood.
I love that name.
I know. The first book is called Travels and Adventures of Little Baron Trump and His Wonderful Dog, Bulger.
What?
This was published in 1889.
Baron Trump is the name of this main character?
Yes, like Baron, like he owns land.
Oh, okay.
So Baron...
Like a style.
Yes. Baron Trump, son of Donald Trump, is B-A-R-R-O-N.
Uh-huh.
Where a baron is B-A-R-O-N.
Baron.
Yes. Okay. So, there is a sequel that's published in 1893 called Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey.
Mm.
Finally, there's a third unrelated book by the same author published in 1896 called 1900, or The Last President.
Ooh.
Which is a dystopian novel.
Ooh, I love that even back in the 1800s.
They were like, the world's about to end.
Yeah. The world has been about to end for a minute.
Yes. So... the first two books are actually children's adventure novels that follow the adventures of a child named Wilhelm Heinrich Sebastian von Trump.
Wilhelm?
Yes. The books did not end up being popular, and one critic wrote, "The author labors through 300 pages of fantastic and grotesque narrative, now and then striking a spark of wit, but the sparks emit little light and no warmth."
Yikes.
And one has to fumble for the story.
Roasted!
Scathing. So this was around the same time that the Adventures of Alice in Wonderland, is that right? Came out. So a lot of people were trying to kind of follow those skirt tales, fantasy children's tales.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, these were just not well received.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to show you a picture of the boy on the cover of this book compared to a photo of Baron Trump.
No. If they look together, Taylor, I'm literally going to leave.
You can't leave. I have too much story to tell you. Hold on. I got to find it. Taylor, edit this out. Add music. Okay. It's on the right-hand side.
Ew! I hate it.
It's cray. They look so similar. It's a little pudgy-faced kid.
Side eye.
Slightly disdainful. And...
Looks more like Donald Trump. It's in the brow.
Yeah. But you can't lie. This is...
That's not... Yikes on bikes. I don't like it.
It's not a complete reach.
No, it's not a complete reach.
All right. So the plot of The Marvelous Underground Journey starts in Russia, and Wilhelm Heinrich Sebastian von Trump finds a secret portal and time travels. In the book, von Trump finds a mentor, often referred to in the books as the master of all masters, that von Trump looks up to. What is this master's name, you ask? Don.
Shut the fuck up.
Nope.
Don?
Don.
D-O-N.
D-O-N is the name of this old band that this little boy looks up to.
Ew! Football stance. It's so soon.
I don't like it. Okay. So, now one point in the conspiracy doesn't quite add up as people point to Melania being Russian. I fact checked it. She's not Russian.
Didn't she say Slovenia?
Yes.
Okay.
So she was born in 1426, 1970 in Novo Mesto, which is in Slovenia. The Republic of Slovenia is a European nation. Italy is its neighbor to the west. So it is not Russian.
Okay.
But I can see how that could have possibly been
Slavic part cultures.
Of this mm-hmm. conspiracy.
Yeah.
Irrelevant. Anyways. before leaving for this journey to the into the unknown,
into the unknown.
I literally have cue Elsa music. I knew it was going to happen. He is told the family motto by Don. The pathway to glory is strewn with pitfalls and danger.
Ooh.
Is the family motto in this book.
Ugh.
Okay, so we're going to jump forward to the 1900s book, which is The Last President. The book begins in New York City, and the city is in an uproar. Why, you ask? Because a widely opposed candidate has just become president.
Shut the hell up.
No. All right. The candidate was incredibly wealthy man who lived on Fifth Avenue. Where's Trump Tower?
It's on Fifth Avenue.
It's on Fifth Avenue.
Oh, ew.
I'm sweaty.
Oh, I don't like that.
No, I know. Okay. After he was elected, people started rioting and protesting in the streets.
Are these real words?
Yes! Yeah. It gets fucking worse, Jenny.
How? Okay. I don't. Listen.
Don't worry. I will tell you.
I'm uncomfortable.
Okay, so. I can't. Okay. After this man became president, he started picking people to be in his cabinet. One of the men that he picks is named Lafay Pence.
Shh. What?
Pence.
What?
I'm not joking. Lafay Pence is the name of this man's cabinet member.
How? Did somebody time travel? Well, Baron did, I guess, in the book.
Yeah, that's the theory, is that Baron is a time traveler. I'm gonna get there.
I'm about to unhinge my jaw like a snake. I am so shocked.
I can't.
Oh.
All right. So if you live under a rock, and I'm jealous of you. I wish I too lived under a rock. The name of our VP is Mike Pence.
Us in Indiana are familiar with him and his antics.
We don't claim him.
No.
All right. So everybody take a deep breath because it's about to get fucking crazier.
How?
So,
hold on, wait, I didn't breathe deep enough.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. Do you need another one?
Yeah.
Another cleansing one?
Okay.
All right. Fantastic. I'm ready. So let's jump forward to 1943. It's 1943, and Nikola Tesla has died from a blood clot.
Mm.
Before he died, he claimed that he had built a time machine and had used it to travel back in time and into the future. This is a whole ass conspiracy on its own. Like, I went down like a little side tangent and I was like, wait, we got to bring it back here. Because there's like all these kinds of things that they think Nikola Tesla has gone back in time and changed or knew about in the future. Or he could have just been an incredibly smart man that understood things that they didn't understand.
He was an incredibly smart man that nobody else understood. And he is the reason why we have Edison bulbs instead of his model.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Yeah. Okay. After Tesla died, representatives of the U.S. government's Office of Alien Property seized many documents relating to his work.
What? Say that again? The what?
U.S. government's Office of Alien Property.
I'm sorry, is that a real fucking office?
Uh-huh. Yep.
No.
Yep.
It is?
Yep.
Why do we need that office?
So, the Office of Alien Property Custodian was established in October 12th of 1917 under the authority of the Trading with an Enemy Act to assume control and dispose of enemy-owned property in the United States and its possessions. The function of this office was administered to all suits in federal court and all claims relative to seizure, investing of enemy-owned or enemy-controlled property during World War II, managed and liquidated all such vested assets. And it was abolished May 13th of 1966.
Okay.
And that source is archives.gov.
Okay.
So, super legit website.
Okay.
Why did they take his stuff? Before his death, he had said that he perfected his death ray. I'm not kidding. He verbatim said, my death ray. Okay. The government was concerned about this knowledge and that they would fall into the hands of the Soviets as they were at the peak of World War II. After they seized all of his possessions, an electrical engineer with the National Defense Research Committee of the Office of Scientific Research and Development was called in to analyze the Tesla papers in the Office of Alien Property Custody.
Okay.
Who was the super smart electrical engineer?
Before you tell me, I want to make sure I understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This group that seizes dangerous things from other people was called in because Tesla created a death ray in a time machine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who was the head of this going through his stuff?
John Trump.
Is that any relation?
That is Donald's grandfather.
Shut.
It's the whole family! Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, oh, I'm sorry. Not his grandfather. It's his uncle. And that is one thing that I found on the Facebook thread that I originally saw. Said it said his grandfather. That is incorrect. It is his uncle.
Still. That is direct relative adjacent.
Too close. All right. He concluded this in his final papers, relinquishing, and I put relinquishing in air quotes, the papers. Tesla's thoughts and efforts during at least the past 15 years were primarily of a speculative philosophical and somewhat promotional character, often concerned with the production and wireless transmission of power, but did not include new, sound, workable principles or methods for realizing such results. So he basically said, nah, that didn't happen. He didn't have anything he said he did. So after World War II ended, people were still very interested in this death ray and other beam-like weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Copies of Tesla's papers on particle beam weaponry were sent to the Air Force Base in Ohio. Details of the experiments conducted were never made public, and the copies of Tesla's papers disappeared, and to this day, no one knows where they are.
It's because he was right.
Yeah. Somebody has these papers.
It's probably Donald Mother... Fluffin' Trump.
100%.
So the...
I have a theory.
Okay.
I have a theory. My last real true bullet point here is, could John Trump have kept some of these Tesla secrets and inventions and passed them down through his family? I think, yes. I believe this conspiracy theory. I'm going to say it right now.
Really?
I do. So factual.
There's too much.
There's dates, there's times, there's government officials saying that this happened. The books are real. You can go check out the books at the library. Like, everything in here is just, it's so coincidental.
It's a prophecy.
It's, no, pass. But, okay, have you ever seen the movie Timeline?
No.
With Paul Walker and...
I don't know who that is.
Okay. Allie is going to come for you.
Sorry, Allie, I don't watch movies.
He was in the Fast and the Furious movies.
I didn't see one.
Okay, never mind. So, anywho, this movie Timeline is about the scientists who have figured out how to work time machine.
Oh.
One of the issues of working the time machine is that your body goes through time like a fax. So your particles all like split up, and then when they get back together, you just like hope and pray that everything comes back the same way it went through.
You're not like scrambled.
Right. But there are certain things of your personality that can be scrambled, physical aspects that can be scrambled. I think Donald Trump has been through the time machine too many times, and that's why he's a fucking asshole! And why he says the crazy bananas, nonsensical, I'm getting flustered, things that he says. Like, none of his sentences make sense.
That's why he sounds like a raving lunatic.
Because he's been through the time machine too many times.
No.
And that's my own personal theory. I didn't read that anywhere.
Okay.
That is a Taylor theory. Okay. I stand by it.
It sounds solid to me. I can get on board with it. That's funny that... Is that where you... Or is that...
I have one final fact, but I am afraid that you're going to mention it in your story, and I don't want to steal your thunder.
That's it. Say it.
Okay. Donald Trump's mother's name is Mary, and his father's full name is Frederick Christ Trump. Donald Trump was born during a total lunar eclipse.
Yes, he was. Which really ties into my conspiracy.
Tell me everything. Hold on, I'm going to open my beer. All right. I'm so excited. I have been so hyped about this episode for weeks. I'm sorry that it made you depressed, but...
So, Donald Trump is the Antichrist.
Yes.
Is what my conspiracy is.
Oh.
I wasn't trying to make, like, an absolute statement.
I'm over here just like, yes.
Correct. Okay, so this is going to be a little different than all of my other conspiracy episodes. Because this, although there's other people in the same train of thought, I kind of set this up in a different way. I'm going to put a big ol' fatty, smelly, wet disclaimer on this one.
All right.
That it is problematic. It's going to piss you off. We're going to bring up a lot of the problematic things that he has done is in his presidency. This is a conspiracy. In my regurgitation of these words are not actually indicative of my own views. I just feel the
they
need.
They do not represent a Little Bit Grim podcast, LLC.
Thank you. The thoughts and actions of those portrayed in this podcast are not representative of our thoughts as a whole.
Sorry, I just had to move my mic. So if you could hear clanking around, that was me.
This is going to have a lot of talk about the Christian end time prophecies. I know we talked about that last episode.
Yeah, but that's just like getting some facts out of the way.
Yeah, the four horsemen of the apocalypse precede the Antichrist. So I'm not saying that Donald Trump is the Antichrist. I'm not saying he's not the Antichrist. I will say that Donald Trump is a white supremacist. Full stop. And if you vote for him, you are a white supremacist. Full stop. So, the theology popular with many conservative evangelicals holds that there is one Antichrist who will bring about Armageddon. Biblical literalists of a certain stripe have long speculated that a president would make the ideal Antichrist, though this interpretation is not universal. The Left Behind series, which terrorized Christian youth groups in the late 1990s and early 2000s.
Taylor read of her own free will.
Yeah, terrorized my life. Gives us an Antichrist from Romania.
Yeah.
Who exists thanks to like genetic experimentation by a cult.
But his name was Nikolai. And we have a...
Nikolai Tesla!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Connecting them dots.
Man. It's all coming together. Okay, so I am trying to lay this out in an organized fashion, which is very fresh and new for me.
Your stories are so organized.
Okay, thanks.
They are.
So I have a list of 8 characteristics of the Antichrist as depicted in the Bible. I have supporting scripture, and then I have supporting evidence of what the dang old Trumpster done did to support these claims. So hold on to your butts.
What had happened was.
You see, what had happened was, or what will have happened is, the Antichrist claims to be a God-like person. He's a prophet of God, and he demands to be worshipped as such. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4.
Okay.
So, on Wednesday, August 21st, 2019, Donald Trump told reporters, "I am the chosen one." He looked up into the heavens as he said this, CNBC News report, so perhaps he truly believes that God anointed him to win a trade war with China, which he also started. Mm. This analysis is supported by 2 uniquely cursed presidential tweets, which he unleashed before he spoke to reporters. In them, he quoted remarks by conservative commentator Wayne Allen Root, who assigned Trump a lofty and troubling designation. So here's a tweet.
Oh, God.
"Thank you to Wayne Allen Root for the very nice words. President Trump is the greatest president for Jews and for Israel in the history of the world, not just America. He is the best president for Israel in the history of the world, and the Jewish people in Israel love him like he is the king of Israel. They love him like he is the second coming of God. But American Jews don't like him or know him. They don't even know what they're doing or saying anymore. It makes no sense, but that's okay. If he keeps doing what he is doing, he is good for them."
I hate it.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yuck. Which is the typical nonsense that President Trump spouts.
Right. So was the majority of that tweet from the conservative person? Or was that like Trump writing his own?
Trump put it in quotes. Oh. But that drivel is Trump talking about himself.
What the fuck?
Yes. Thank you. It is insane.
Do you have pictures of these tweets?
I will, yes.
Okay. We'll post these on the on the Instagram. This might be our first one that has like a one part and a two part.
Receipts.
Yeah.
Oh, like Instagram posts. Yeah, not, might not.
I can't post more than 10 pictures in an Instagram slideshow, and one of them is my like title page. So nine. I can do 9.
Okay.
So we might have to just keep our eyes out for like part 1 and 2.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Okay. So trait number 2, he will blaspheme God. Revelations 13:6 says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name in his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. President Trump has a trouble with a whole slew of the Ten Commandments. There's the adultery, the prohibition against giving false witness. As of September 2019, he has made over 15,000 false or misleading claims during his presidency.
The last time I was with a group of friends, we went through and tried to like figure out if Trump had not broken any of the Ten Commandments. Like, we physically like looked up the Ten Commandments and we're like, no.
I love that.
Sorry.
You're okay. The sexual assault. I would forget that. Which explicitly is not a Ten Commandment.
Should be.
But is not explicitly said so.
Ugh.
And then there's this commandment. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Mm-hmm. That's the one that the president violated on June night in 2019. That was also a Thursday. I left out the number.
Great. Okay.
When he joked about, quote unquote, goddamn windmills while talking about energy policy with House Republicans in Baltimore. For some of the president's evangelical supporters, Trump's occasional use of the word goddamn is a bridge too far, even for a president whose behavior they've grown accustomed to excusing as they fervently support his policies. Mm-hmm. I certainly do not condone taking the Lord's name in vain. There is a whole commandment dedicated to prohibiting that, said Reverend Robert Jeffress, a Texas megachurch leader, who is one of Trump's most outspoken evangelical advisors and supporters. I think it's very offensive to use the Lord's name in vain. I can take just about everything else except that.
Interesting. So I read something that was about that commandment. And while we're taught, like, you can't say, oh, my God, it is, some people take it as not using the Lord's name in vain is saying, I do this action for my Lord. So you don't get to say what you're doing is in honor of or God. For God. And I had never heard that before.
I could see that, or like an interpretation of, like, you cannot use God to justify exactly. your ungodly behavior.
Yes, that's a much more succinct way of putting that. But yeah, that's...
I love that. I wish that's what it meant.
I wish that that's how we were taught.
Same. The issue is not with the religion. The issue is with the people who proclaim to understand and teach the religion. I'm just going to say that.
And that's that on that.
Number 3, the Antichrist is a charismatic, attractive... and wildly popular diplomat. Now, hold on. I can see you waggling your head over there. The Antichrist is a diplomat. He has to unite the nations of the world so he can carry out his nefarious schemes. Mm-hmm. You can't just waltz into the Third Temple and desecrate it without public support.
True.
That's the sort of thing that would otherwise start a war. Mm-hmm. Because Antichrist has to create a new world order, it is generally assumed that he will be intelligent and charismatic. David Jeremiah, who pastors ominously named Shadow Mountain Community Church.
What?
He serves on Trump's evangelical advisory board, explained on his blog, the combination of his magnetic personality, speaking ability, and extreme good looks will make him virtually irresistible to the masses. I personally am not going to touch the subject of Trump's beauty. however, I will say that he has charisma.
Yeah.
He has to. He has a lot of the people in our nation wrapped around his finger right now. He's a professional entertainer. Mm-hmm. He became president, so some people are clearly persuaded by his rhetoric. He is wildly unpopular, both at home and abroad, on the same side of that coin. And I mean, as for his intelligence, like, can I just, like, remind everybody of, like, the Coffee Fay tweet?
been through the time machine too many times.
And coffee, which I still call coffee to this day. Okay.
Oh, no.
Number four, the Antichrist rules in full authority. He will be given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation, says Revelations 13, 5 through 7. I've got a couple of examples here.
Great.
A lawsuit, Penn America versus alleges that the president has been engaged in an unconstitutional campaign to silence dissent by using the regulatory powers of the federal government to punish media he doesn't like. A large part of this campaign has included the president's attacks on AT&T, including bringing an antitrust action against it in retaliation for coverage he didn't like about him on CNN. Ooh. Do you remember this happening?
No. Oh, God, I hate it.
His revocation of reporter Jim Acosta's press pass. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Okay. Took his press pass, his threats to pull the license of NBC, mm-hmm. and his threats to increase shipping costs for Amazon, whose founder and chief executive is Jeff Bezos, owner of the Washington Post, are but a few of the actions Trump has taken to silence the media. Second, President Donald Trump tried to use foreign government to influence the 2020 election. Mm-hmm. In doing so, he committed the highest crime. He attempted to deprive the people of the United States of the right to a free and fair election. He has clearly committed numerous impeachable offenses, but the specific offense, attempting to deprive the people of their right to a free and fair election, left the House of Representatives with no real choice but to use their constitutional power of last resort to consider his removal. His conduct shows that he thinks he's above the law, and that he can abuse the powers of his office with impunity. And his five crimes connected to the Ukraine are soliciting foreign campaign contribution, coercion of political activity, misappropriation of federal funds, obstruction of Congress. I said five, but I only listed four. Oh. So anyway, I have the actual articles of the Constitution that violated this. So I'll take a picture and we'll post them on the Instagram.
Great.
It is also appropriately of great interest to Americans whether, quite apart from constitutional high crimes, the president committed ordinary crimes for which ordinary Americans would be prosecuted and punished. An analysis of the facts and the law reveals that, in addition to his impeachable conduct, President Trump has committed several criminal offenses. Any other person could be facing the real likelihood of substantial time in federal prison. Instead, because Donald Trump holds the office of president and rules in fear, he faces potential impeachment rather than potential indictment. But we know that he didn't get impeached.
Right.
Because he is an authoritarian ruler.
Right.
I'm getting out of breath. I'm fired up about this. I'm sweating. This was me fervently typing behind my computer like a maniac.
Yeah.
For 4 days.
Oh, my God.
To be clear, in our constitutional republic, no person, including the president, is above the law. And then lastly, he's trying to ban TikTok because he doesn't like China.
And he doesn't like that a bunch of TikTokers ruined his rally in Tulsa.
Wah, 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 wah.
Get him.
I am sad and orange. Okay, number five. The Antichrist will control the world's economy. Forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. The mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
We know all about this.
Yep. I just got full on goosebumps.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So there's a lot of trains of thought about what the mark of the beast is going to materialize as in sure. the end times. But we know that it is directly tied to the economy
mm-hmm.
in some way. So, but I'm going to look at the broader picture here rather than the mark of the beast. As police brutality rages in the streets, President Trump can't run on ending American carnage in this re-election. He can't run on criminal justice reform. He can't run on winning back America's respect in the world or having completed his promised wall. Do we all remember that? That yeah. like slipped into the night.
Yeah. He's like, oh, no, I'm running from
it. I can't do that, though.
But they're all walling up against us. Americans can't go anywhere.
Right.
So
he is running on the economy. Even though the United States recently notched the worst economic numbers since the Great Depression, quote, "I built the greatest economy in the world, the best the U.S. has ever had," he tweeted Sunday, June 7th, 2020, echoing similar superlative claims he and his aides have been making for several months. "I'm doing it again," he tweeted. The statement is so wrong on so many levels that it's hard to know where to start.
Yuck.
It's no doubt, however, that his overarching reach has affected the world economy. His foreign affairs policy has crippled the U.S. in its relation to China, Russia, and other world superpowers regarding our economic situation. I'm not going to go on and on and on about the dire state of our economy and where we are headed. I could. I will not.
We'll save you this time.
We talk about the economy a lot in this household.
Yeah.
And I have become, like, so much more informed about it, thanks to Ian.
Mm-hmm.
But I will save you because it can be very boring. But he rules the economy with his abuse of power because, again, his overreaching authoritative position
right.
manipulates everybody who controls big money. I'm telling you, we're like on the bubble of the worst housing crisis we have ever seen, like blowing 2008 out of the water.
Yeah.
Mark my words. The Bible just said that he ruled the economy of the world. They never said he ruled it well. Which he's doing a very
right,
bad job.
Right. One thing that I am probably pretty sure about is that if Donald Trump is the Antichrist, and we're going to get real nitty gritty with the Mark of the Beast here.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just talk about the MAGA hats?
Mm-hmm.
It's on their forehead.
It has to do
with the economy.
I could see that because I'm not... There's a lot of people who are so... And again, it's about how literal you take
mm-hmm.
the Bible. I'm not sure that the Mark of the Beast is going to be an actual... And some people said it about in the Holocaust
yeah.
when they had to get the numbers.
The
yeah. Was a Mark of the Beast. Anything mm-hmm. that we use visually to identify one group of people from another group
right.
of people. It's like reestablishing a caste system.
Yeah, for sure.
So, number 6, the Antichrist desecrates God's temple. Matthew 24:15-21 says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be."
Ugh.
So although in this chapter, it really is describing like actual like desecration, like the bombing of Christian temples or places of worship.
Sure.
On June 1st, 2020, amid the George Floyd protests in Washington, D.C., police and the National Guard troops used tear gas and other riot control tactics to forcefully clear out peaceful protesters from Lafayette Square and surrounding streets, creating a path for President Donald Trump and senior administration officials to walk from the White House to St. John's Episcopal... St. John's Church.
Yeah.
Trump held up a Bible and posed for a photo op in front of the Ashburton House, which is the parish house, which had been damaged by a fire during protests the night before. Trump did not enter the church. The clearing of demonstrators from Lafayette Square was widely condemned as excessive and an affront to the First Amendment right of freedom to assembly. Freedom of assembly. Just before visiting the church, Trump delivered a speech where he urged the governors of U.S. states to quell violent protests by using the National Guard to dominate the streets, or he would otherwise deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem. Former military leaders, current religious leaders, and elected officials condemned Trump for the event. though some of his fellow Republicans defended the actions. The event was described by the New York Times as a burst of violence unlike any seen in the shadow of the White House in generations, and possibly one of the defining moments of his presidency. And there was a huge outcry, even from the preacher mm-hmm. of this church spoke yeah. out against it and said that he's using God, which is something that so many Americans hold deep in their heart mm-hmm. to assimilate himself with them, because we have a tendency to automatically assume that anybody who believes in God is good,
right?
Because they're like us, they believe like us, mm-hmm. he has God in his heart, he's just struggling to do the right thing like all of us are, but he's using it strategically as a tactic mm-hmm. to manipulate people's views of him. Yeah. And he's using God in the church, in the Bible, for his own gain. And if that is not desecration of the house of the Lord, I don't know what is.
And he held the Bible upside down.
Been through that time machine too many times, he probably can't read anymore.
Yeah.
But number 7, this one is really interesting to me.
Okay.
The Antichrist attempted destruction of Israel.
Mm.
This is a huge
yes.
one. And this, there are just as many people who believe that Barack Obama was the Antichrist. And that's because he tried to instill a little bit of boundaries between us and Israel.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm not going to get into the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but like, I'm on board with.
Okay.
Just saying. So, Satan and all of those under his rule have always sought the destruction of the Jews. Then times see this brought to fruition. In Daniel 11:40-41, it says, "And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious Jerusalem, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon," which are descendants of rulers of these lands. Right. So like Palestine, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
This happens after yet another treaty is broken. At first, the Antichrist promises to help be Jerusalem's savior, but he, as always, is a liar and the truth is not in him. Daniel 9:27. He breaks one treaty after another, makes one promise after another, breaking them all as his power comes from the father of lies, the devil. In November 2019, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced that the United States no longer considers Israeli settlements in the West Bank to be illegal, reversed 50 years of U.S. policy. The move should be read as the latest step in President Donald Trump's own re-election campaign, spoiling for a fight with the Democrats over Israel. Trump has sought to cast himself as, in the words of a Jerusalem Post columnist, the most pro-Israel president in history. Moving the U.S. embassy in Israel to Jerusalem and recognizing the city as the country's capital, endorsing Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, and cutting aid to the Palestinians have all been part of this strategy. He recognizes that such actions help to shore up his evangelical Christian base and appeal to influential U.S. Jews. He also probably believes these policies will carry favor with independents, among whom Israel remains a popular topic, and enable him to smear Democrats as anti-Semitic and anti-Israel, hoping to pick off Jewish voters in the 2020 election. So, while Trump's policies have been popular in Israel, his record is far less pro-Israel than it appears on the surface. In particular, his support of Israeli territorial ambitions has obscured another far less favorable legacy on Israel he will leave behind, the degree to which he has ignored and even undermined Israeli security. When contemplating U.S. action or inaction in the Middle East, Trump has time and time again proved indifferent, even callous, to Israeli concerns. This pattern of neglect towards Israel's security is causing consternation in Jerusalem and can be seen as criticism by the Israeli defense establishment following two incidents over the last year. So he's doing a lot of shouting and arm waving and look how good I am to Israel. And look, we're moving the embassy to Jerusalem, the real capital. But he is doing nothing to actually help the situation, and in fact is making day-to-day life harder with his policies and our funding to Israel.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Number 8, causes armies to fight against Christ. He saw the beast and the kings of earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. Revelations 19:19. So this one's a convoluted. A lot of it rests on what we define as Christianity.
Sure.
There's an understanding that the Antichrist will use Christianity and proclaim his holiness as a reincarnation of God. True Christians in their heart will know that he's a false leader. He will lead Christians down a path of hate, sin, carnage, war, and a whole other mess of quite ungodly ways. This is not what, quote unquote, God wants.
Mm-hmm.
God, to true Christians, embodies love and would never lobby for the destruction of his flock in such a way. While the Antichrist will claim that all of his actions are in the name of God, it is for the good of the church to stop persecution. The Lord of lies and deceit, the son of perdition, the most unholy one, will lead these people further away from the light of the Lord into the darkness of the devil. In doing so, Christians, true to their heart and to their knowledge that God is being used against them, will war with those who are raging against every person who oppose the Antichrist's rise to the world domination. Heavy shit.
Yeah, for sure.
If there's anything that makes this okay, the Bible says that the Antichrist's final destiny is in the lake of fire. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. So, at the very least, comforting thoughts to think that a man, like I said, not necessarily Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily not ah. Donald Trump, would end up in such a state. These aren't my beliefs, but boy, is it fun to think about.
It's titillating.
You said tit.
I did. Wow.
That's a lot. A lot of Trumpkin stuff.
Yeah. So in my research, and I know that you were doing this, I had heard about Donald Trump being kind of in league with Jeffrey Epstein, so I started the Jeffrey Epstein documentary last night.
Oh, I have not had the heart.
Oh, it is. It is a whole circus.
Is it?
It. Oh my God, it's so much bigger than I thought it was going to be. And I went to bed last night and I had legitimate nightmares about Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein, but like, Donald was definitely in my nightmares.
Oh my God.
It was horrible.
I had a nightmare last night that my friend Cecily was carrying a baby through Walmart, but it was actually a baby monkey, and the monkey's name was Claudia. And
what?
The monkey yelled at me for not being woke enough.
Wow.
It was wild.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'd rather have my dream than your dream. Your dream sounds scarier.
Yeah, mine was... It was a very terrifying time in my nightmares, which that's normal for me, but...
Real world anxieties. These are like the times we live in.
Where evil people with too much money.
Things have gotten into such a state where it's like absolutely plausible that all of the big world players are running a child sex trafficking ring.
Yeah.
It's plausible.
Yeah. Like one of the people that was involved in this that I had no idea about was Prince Albert from like England's.
What? Prince. The old one?
Yeah.
Really?
He is besties with Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, for...
And he does an entire interview, and he's like, I do not remember meeting this woman. I don't remember that night. But there's a photo of them together. It's only 4 episodes. Highly recommend it if you have the heart to get through some really dark stuff. And it's uncomfy because there's a lot of video of Epstein being indicted and interviewed, and they're asking him all of these super uncomfy questions. Cringe.
Ooh.
But there's a lot of really good interviews with the survivors.
Do we have survivors who are like speaking out? Is that how all this came to light? I don't know enough about it. I put my head in the sand, like ostrich style, on this.
I did too. We have a lot of survivors that have come out, but it was basically a sex ring, I don't want to use the word prostitution because they were minors, but a pyramid scheme. So one underage girl would get dragged to this party by another underage girl, and she would say, okay, we're gonna go and give this dude a massage, he's gonna pay us money, and then we're gonna leave. And the other girl would be like, wait, what? That's not what I thought we were doing here. Mm-hmm. Like, but they would do it. They'd each get paid $200. He would get their information, say, come back to my house next week, I'll give you more money. Most of these girls were impoverished, definitely struggling and vulnerable.
It's like dipping your toes in the water. Right. And then next thing you know, you're being trafficked.
Yeah. Well, he would bring them back again, and he would say, I'll give you another $200 if you bring a friend next time.
So then she brings a friend. Ew,
And he would pay them more money the more friends they brought. And it would just go down the line.
It's a multi-level marketing scheme.
Yeah.
But for sex with minors.
Yes.
Fucking gross.
Horrifying. Like, the prosecution had a chart that was, like, they created a chart of post-it notes to try to, like, list all of the victims and who brought who into the fold.
I bet it was just the worst family tree you can imagine.
Oh, it was wild.
I hate it.
Hard.
Well, join us next week for another fun one where we talk about disasters.
Cults.
I lied. It's cults. Which are also are a type of disaster.
Truly. Yes. Yeah. So we'll be doing cults next time. If you like us, follow us on what?
I'm just laughing at my false confidence.
Oh.
So wrong and so bold.
That's me every day of my life.
Cults. Like us on the social meds.
Yes. Follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook group, Instagram, Twitter. Meh.
It's ongoing, that one. That's going to be my disaster episode.
We'll have screenshots.
Yeah.
And then if you have a story you want to tell us, please feel free to write us at alittlebitgrim@gmail.com, or you can DM us on Instagram. That works too.
See you there.
All right. Goodbye.
Bing.